Welcome, Impactful Parents. It's time for the Impactful Parenting Podcast, where I give you parenting tips and resources to make you a more impactful parent to your school-aged child. I am your host, Christina Campos. Today, we're going to talk about getting your child to listen to you better and stop those eye rolls. If you don't know, my name is Christina Campos, and I am the founder of The Impactful Parent, and I come on here every week, and I do one of these questions for you live. So if you have a question for me for next week, please submit it. You can either direct message me on social media or you can email me at theimpactfulparent@gmail.com. But today's question is, someone wrote in and said, my preteen and I are starting to butt heads. I feel like they aren't listening to me anymore and my sweet daughter is becoming a diva. What irritates me most is how she rolls her eyes at me all the time. How can I stop this now before it gets worse? Well, thank you for submitting your question, and you are definitely not an anomaly. Oh, so many parents dealing with the same thing. So today I'm going to give you 4 quick tips on how you can improve your relationship with your child and hopefully stop some of those eye rolls. And the first tip I have for you is to make sure that when you have a conflict with your child, calm yourself down first. That is tip number 1. When our kids get us angry or annoyed, we tend to talk down to them in our anger. This is a bad habit that many parents get hooked on when the kids are small because a younger child will just take it. But as your child gets older, they begin to resent you, and how you're talking to them really makes a difference. If you're talking down to them, then they're going to start building that resentment up. So to stop yourself from yelling or speaking from anger or disappointment, it's important that parents pause for a moment, collect themselves, and then calm down first. If I'm angry, I actually tell my kids that I'm mad and I need 5 minutes to collect myself before addressing the problem. Now, this role modeling is awesome for kids to see, and it gives me a few minutes to collect my feelings. So remember, how you respond to your child's behavior will greatly impact how the whole scene unfolds. Yelling at your child will either put them into a flight or fight mode. And flight is a cowering state of being, just as they may have reacted when they were a child. Or a fight mode will be when they are starting to stand up for themselves and yell back at you. This is typically where some of those eye rolls start to come into play, when your child starts to not take that flight mode and be passive with your how you're speaking to them, but they start rolling their eyes, and pretty soon as they get older, they'll start going into the fight mode. Now, those are primitive responses ingrained into your child. It happens with every person. So we don't want to trigger those responses, and to do that, it is best to make sure that you're just not yelling back to your child, which again, step 1, make sure that you can calm down first so that you can calm down and talk to them in a normal voice versus the yelling. Now, my tip number 2 is don't lecture your kid. The lecturing will bring the eye rolls. Older kids already know what they did wrong. They need help learning from their mistakes and understanding the consequences of their actions. So when they're little, we have to explain why the right and wrong is going on, what's happening there. As they get older, you don't need to do that anymore. Instead, you're going to shift your focus into helping them understand their consequences and the mistakes that they made and how that's going to affect them moving forward. So understanding is much more where you're going with when they're getting older. This is where your focus should be. So lecturing will only add more eye rolls, and that's what we want to stop. So instead, start asking questions to help your child learn from mistakes. To help you with this, I'm going to give you a free download today. It's a free PDF, so there's no reason not to go get it. Go check it out. It's called Questions to Ask Your Child So That They Will Learn from Their Mistakes. And I'll put it in the show notes down below, but it's at theimpactfulparent.com/learningquestions. Older kids don't need parents to tell them that they made a bad decision. They need their parents to redirect them helping them recognize the consequences of their choices and how to make a better choice for next time. So this free PDF actually does that for you. And again, you can go to theimpactfulparent.com/learning questions to get this free resource. So go ahead and go to that after you finish watching the other two quick tips. And the next quick tip is let your child talk. As your child gets older, they want a voice. They actually need you to hear them. Even if you don't agree with your young human, they need to feel like they are heard. Otherwise, they're going to resent you. And again, more of the eye rolls. I highly suggest that you ask your child when they are in a good mood, if they feel like you actually hear them. So just on the random, maybe in the car today, ask them, do you think that I listen to you? Do you think that you feel heard? Because you might be surprised by their response. But either way, strive to let your child have a voice and then rephrase what you hear them say and what you see them doing. When you summarize what you hear your child saying, it creates a space for them to feel understood. And if you didn't get it right, it gives them a space to correct you, and now you're on the same page. Either way, this is a win-win situation. So instead of commanding and demanding or criticizing when you want your child to do something, try to describe what you see. And let me give you an example. For example, don't say, put your books away. As they get older, I know you want to say that. Hey, just pick up your shoes, put your books away. But instead, try saying something like, I see that you put your books on the table again. Please move them before dinner. That kind of speech of asking your child to do that, I still asked my child to put the books away, but it wasn't quite as direct and not quite as harsh. Therefore, your child can be a little bit more receptive to the request that you're making. And again, I'll point out to you that what I did was I made an observation about what is happening and then I made my request. So I'll say that one more time. Instead of saying, put your books away, you say something like, I see that you put your books on the table again. Can you please move them before dinner? It also gives them a time frame to get the request that I asked them done. And it's not saying right here, right now. Another thing that's going to get you a lot of eye rolls when we want our kids to be on our timetable and our schedule. So when I make requests to my teenagers, I try to give them a space of time when they need to get something done. It gives them a little bit of flexibility and choice of when am I going to get it done? Do I want to do it right now? Or do I want to wait 10 minutes? Or do I want to wait till the very last second? They also know the consequences of not listening to me. So those are things to look for. Let me give you another example in case that one wasn't so clear. Instead of saying, don't say, I can't believe you failed that test. Instead, say something like, I thought you felt ready for that exam, so I'm surprised that you got a D. What do you think happened? See, the sentiment is so different in those two different sentences, from saying, I can't believe you failed that exam, to, I thought you really were ready for that exam. I'm surprised that you didn't do as well as you thought you were going to do. What do you think happened? It just makes it so that your child is not so automatically defensive. And then again, not automatically going, oh my gosh, I'm going to get another lecture again from my parent, which again, triggers the eye roll. Now, my tip number four is probably my most important one, and that one is try to phase out the outright no. What I'm trying to say there is don't just say no, because how you say no to your child really, really matters as they get older. Again, if you say no in a harsh tone, you're automatically going to invoke a fight response. So your child will immediately get defensive. To avoid this, I suggest you phrase your no with a yes included. For example, your child might ask you if they can meet up with some friends after school. Okay, pretty common request. You know that your family already has some commitments, and so that you're going to have to tell your child no in this circumstance. If it was me, I would phrase my no like this. Of course you can see your friends after school, but we can't do that today. I will call Jake's mom and see if he can pick you up after school tomorrow instead. Do you see what I did there? See how I am coupling a no response with actually a yes. Your child might still have trouble accepting the no, but I find this technique helps children not focus on the negative as much, and the pushback isn't as strong. You may want to strive for coupling your no with a conditional yes for some teenagers also. For example, if your child asks to have an extra hour of video gaming because they want to hang out with their buddies, but you don't like the idea of more screen time, maybe you can compromise with your teen by saying something like this, where, again, I'm going to say no, but I'm also going to say yes if there's a condition to it. Sure, you can have an extra hour of screen time tonight with your friends as long as all your homework is done and you go for a walk with me around the park after school for 30 minutes. So what that does for me is it gets my child out of the house and not in front of the screen, even for a little bit of time that evening. So I feel a little bit better about my child spending a little bit more social time on social media because I've spent some time with them and I've gotten them out of the house. So I said no, but I also made a condition of saying yes by doing that. So again, you're trying to couple your no with a yes so they can focus on the yes. If they can't do whatever they want right now, figure out how you can compromise with them. And when you say no, just say, no, we can't do that today. Instead, say, of course, I would love for you to be able to do that. We can't do that right now, but let's figure out how we can do that tomorrow or next week or in the future. It just makes the focus that much better. Now, these are only a few tips to get you started communicating with your preteen or teen better, but I hope that it helps. And as your child gets older, you'll need to become more flexible and creative with your responses, which isn't always easy, but you can do it with practice. It's difficult for parents to shift from this authoritarian no because I said so, which used to work when they were little, to more of a lenient no coupled with a yes because they're getting older and they need some space to grow. But if you can do this, if you can practice it, still, in the long run, it's going to help you with your relationship with your child. I hope this helps for you today. And if you have a question for me for next week, please submit it. Again, you can direct message me on social media or you can email me at theimpactfulparent@gmail.com. But until next time, you got this, parents. I'm just here to help. Thank you for listening today. Remember to subscribe and share this podcast with a friend. And don't forget, the Impactful Parenting Podcast is an extension of the Impactful Parent community. So go to the Impactful Parent website and sign up for a 30-day challenge, browse the free resources, or register for the weekly newsletter so that you don't miss a parenting tip that can help you and your family. Thanks for listening today, and go to theimpactfulparent.com. See you next episode.